motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
And Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, you're going to give us something that we can deposit, Lord, in our heart, because no matter how high we fly in here, we are not rooted and grounded in experiences. We are rooted and grounded in truth. In truth. We're not even rooted and grounded in our emotions. No matter how good they are, we're rooted and grounded in truth. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I don't really know where to start, so I'll just start. I know to do this. Let's hold up our Bibles and say this together. These are our Bibles. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says we are worth more than what we go through. We will not be talked out of the truth. We are equipped, anointed, and predestined for miracles, healing, and the supernatural activity of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even remember that. He's gave me that on Friday. We're going to continue our brand new series, Christ is Life. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. We want this life. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And remember, that's zoe, the Greek word zoe, life, divine life. He who comes to me shall never hunger again. So we need to be feeding on him. Can I get a witness? All of us, if we're honest, we try to feed on other things, circumstances, stock market, our football team, our friend, what our somebody else we barely even know thinks about us. We try to feed on these things, try to find happiness and joy and fulfillment in things that are not designed and can never possibly fulfill you. We were connected to love and joy in the garden, but when the spirit, when spiritual death came through disobedience, spiritual death came. Instead of walking around the earth being love, which was Adam and Eve's assignment, they started walking around the earth looking for love. Somebody love me. Somebody fulfill me. Somebody please me. And so we went outward sourced instead of inward sourced, which is what we're designed for. Only Christ, the bread of life, can fulfill you and sustain you. There's too many born-again Christians on the planet who have the very life of Christ, the vine, capital V, lives inside of them, and yet they continue to try to find joy and happiness in other things in the world. A lot of what this series reminds me of is Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 through 16, when Daniel and the boys said, you know what, we're not going to feed on the king's stuff. We're not going to feed on that. We're going to keep ourselves pure from all that. And I see the parallel there. And there's a move of God's Spirit this summer. I know she's pretty. Honey, you distracted everybody. Even me. She's so beautiful. Inwardly first, and also outwardly.
Hello.
Amen. Nobody's looking over there. They're all looking over. I want to say this again. There's a move of God's Spirit this summer. Are you with me on that? There's a move of God's Spirit this summer, and it's not just here. It's in other churches. It's launching there to simply cut off what we've been feeding on. Cut off what we've... How many of you have recognized, if you just feed on the news, if you just watch it over and over again, or Twitter, or read the paper, or whatever you do, you're not going to feel very well after a while. And so we're cutting off what we've been feeding on. It's not a legalistic thing. It's very loving. It's a draw to intimacy. It's good for us. God simply saying, taste and see that I'm good. And with that has come this spirit of the overcomer, and a spirit of invincibility, which we're releasing here this morning. I want to look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 out of the Message Bible. It's so profound this agreement in prayer among leaders in this area to drive out unbelief and to believe God for renewal. But as one of the words came last week, I don't think we're heading into it. I think we're in it. I think we're in it. And driving out unbelief is huge, and this is why. Because the body of Christ will never live beyond what we believe to be true about ourselves. You'll never live beyond what you believe to be true about yourself. So you may as well agree with God. Look at Colossians 2:6, Message Bible. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. Sound like I wrote that. Everybody say, I've already got it. One of the greatest shifts that God has brought certainly to us and then through us, we'd be able to have influence in other places with the same message and truth, is that we've already got it. We're not working for things. When I got Christ, what do I not have? I'm not working for a healing. I have the divine healer living inside of me. You receive Christ Jesus the Master, now live Him. Not a set of rules. Not religious duty. Live Him. When people see you, that they see Him. You're deeply rooted where? In doctrine? No, in Him. You're well constructed upon what? Him. You know your way around the faith? Now do what you've been taught. School's out, quit studying the subject and start living it. Come on, somebody. School is out, everybody. I mean, we said 3 years ago, it seems like the body of Christ is far educated up here beyond what we're willing to obey. We know a whole lot more than we're willing to go live out. Well, that day is past. School is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into Thanksgiving. We have all, I mean, here's one of the practical things we'll get into that'll help you, is the simple, every day, just simply acknowledge the life of Christ that's in you. What does that mean? His unconditional love is in you. His freedom from rejection is in you. His forgiveness is in you. Forgiveness is supernatural, guys. I did a wedding last night and they said their vows to each other. And it was all, you know, I'll love you forever. I'll never fail. I'll never, you know, disappoint you. I'm going to always be there. I prayed, oh God, only by your spirit can we walk this out. Because their hearts are good. Amen. I know they're in love. I know what they're saying. But you can't live that in human ability. Talking about, well, I'll never be mad when you upset me. I'll give you a few minutes. All right. Christ's patience, Christ's victory, Christ's selflessness is in you. Stop trying to be selfless and just acknowledge the life of the selfless one. It's Him, not me. That's why I'm saying there's coming a day, and is now here, where the church finally realizes, you know what? I don't even know rejection. I don't even know it, because I'm so accepted in the Beloved. And I'm not going to cry because of you and the mean things you said. I'm going to cry for you. Because I don't know rejection. Why are the lines, the healing lines, so long for our rejection? Because we really don't believe and know how accepted we are. I'm sorry. I know that is difficult to say, but it's true. We battle so much with rejection and fear and all those things because we simply don't know and believe how accepted and perfectly loved we are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at another one. So if you're serious, this is Message Bible again, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Jesus, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground, absorbed with Twitter and everything right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on in Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His. Brother Clay, right? He comes over and whispers to me, hey, remember, the glory of God is His perspective. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Why are you still offended? Why are you still angry? Why are you still trying to hold everybody else accountable for how they treat you? It's incredible how we expect so much from everybody else's behavior, like we owe them nothing. You owe them Christ. You owe, what does Romans say? Owe no man anything except to love him. And we live as born again Christians with the life of Christ in us. Like everybody owes me good behavior. Don't hurt me. Don't hinder me. Don't say something wrong to me because I can't handle it. That's right. If you're dead, you're unoffendable. Right? I've never been to a funeral where the deceased is offended. Think about it. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Now, clap your hands for that. Come on, clap your hands for that. Jesus replaced your old life. You didn't add Jesus to who you used to be. Come on, man. Amen. He is your life. Your new life is your real life. He wasn't added to you. He put the old you to death, and by faith you agreed and you receive his life on the inside. So now Galatians 2:20 is true in you. It's no longer you that live. It's Christ that lives in you, me. Christ lives in you and me. He's alive in there. Listen to this. He's not asleep. He's not tucked away somewhere. Christ lives in me. He's alive in me. And our countenance and our attitudes need to reflect that. Christ is my source. He's my expression. It's him, not other people, not my feelings, not the right set of circumstances, not my favorite team won a game that sources and sustains me. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. You know, Stacy is 99.9% perfect. But she can mess up. But thank God if she messes up. Christ is my life. And while she is value to me, like I said last week, that is a $1 value, whereas the life of Christ and my relationship with God and being accepted in him is $5. Okay, I don't discount there's value there, but the enemy tricks us. And then we think everybody and everything out here is $5. Oh, and my relationship with God's worth $1. And he's flipped that. He's tricked us. Spirit of the overcomer. Spirit of invincibility. 2 Corinthians 4:8, Message Bible. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know God does. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but not been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial, torture, mockery, murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for his sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. That word life is Zoe. Right? All those things happen. We suffer so the life of Christ can be revealed in and through us. So we're no longer ruled by things that are no reflection of who we really are. I don't want to be mastered by circumstances. I don't want to be mastered by how I feel. Amen, somebody? I'll never forget when the Lord said, Steve, if you want to master your circumstances, the only way to do it is be mastered by me. And unfortunately, the body of Christ, we allow all these other things to master us instead of the master. The one we say we love. The one we sing about and say, you're all we need. Do you see why he asked the question? You all sing that I'm all you need, but do you believe that? That's a valid question. We can't live from experience to experience, even if the experience is awesome. When your feet hit the ground this afternoon, you're going to be anchored in truth. Not by feelings, not even your experience here this morning. Truth is what anchors you. Amen. I don't want to be waking up in the morning and, oh my goodness, I don't feel God. God, where are you at? Truth says, God, thank you for being here. I know you're with me and in me to do your good pleasure. Right? Isn't that better than waking up and thinking, well, I don't feel God, so I guess I better start praying. Let me start reading the Bible. God, where are you at? Oh, I didn't do my devotion. Okay, I'll do my devotion, and then I know God will be here. God is there. Truth says, I'm not living by what I'm feeling. Do you think God wants us living by sensuality? That we're living by our senses? You're to walk by faith, my friends. Faith and rooted and grounded in the truth. 3 John 1:4, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He didn't say no greater joy than to hear my children experience God emotionally. No greater joy than to hear they actually believe the truth. That is what will settle them. That is what will anchor them. Circumstances should not be moving us like his life and his truth move us. That's it right there. Put that in your notes, put it on your fridge. Circumstances, other people's opinions, what's going on in the world should not be moving you like his spirit and his truth move you. Amen. Too many Christians have to feel God or see God to even believe God. And I'm talking about Christians. God, I gotta feel you or I gotta see you or I'm just back in the tank, man. Unbelief has rode in and mastered me. Why? Because I don't feel him? Because I don't see him? I'm not rooted in truth then, am I? Boy, it's powerful. Why did Jesus say it's more blessed for those who have not seen and yet believe? Right? Because at least they both believe, those who saw and then those who didn't see, but at least they believe. Why is it more blessed for those who've not seen and yet believe? Here's why. Because those who choose to believe even though they've not seen don't have to walk through the turmoil of only believing God when they see it. My sister, whose foot was healed this morning, she could have been at a place. Now, I believe the way she's dancing around, she's seen and she believes. But how much greater having even not seen for those who believe and know that they're healed. Amen. Who wants to wait around till the doctor actually confirms and says, okay, Brian, you're now healed. Woo-hoo! How about for those who have not even seen it and believe? I'm not waiting around for some other report, and I don't discount what the doctor says. That is a reality, what he said. But guess what? It's not the only reality. God wants you waking up knowing you're forgiven, knowing you're healed, knowing you're loved, and not wait for a feeling to confirm something that's the truth. Woo! We're not living by sensuality anymore. Can I get a witness on that? Why is there so much discouragement in the body of Christ? Because everybody's eyes are on themselves and their circumstances. They're all waiting to feel or experience something before they'll dare to believe it. Our Father desperately wants to bring us out of that mindset. Quit living from feeling to feeling and start living from truth to truth, somebody. Yes. Amen. Yes. Truth to truth. By not being grounded in the truth, we have not lost our lives as we've been instructed in Scripture. It's kept us looking at the center and in this need-based Christianity, looking at ourselves at the center. Look at Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Where has this version of Christianity gone? Because so much of what I've been taught is self-preservation, self-improvement, self at the center. According to this, it's self-giving. It's self-surrender. Did not love their lives. That word live is suke. In the Greek, literally means your soulish man. To me, this is converted, convicted, contagious. I'm converted through the blood. I'm so convicted, it comes out in my testimony. Where's the conviction in the body of Christ? People of conviction. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. I'm talking about people who are firmly believing, firmly entrenched in the truth. People of conviction. Let me give you an example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Were they guys of conviction? I think so. Because they said, kill us. Go ahead. Kill us. And in the midst of the fire, a fourth man showed up. The fourth man showed up and he was likened unto the Son of the Living God. Acts chapter 2. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, we see them not love their lives even unto death. Let's look at this one. Matthew 16:24, Message Bible. Then Jesus said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Now, how many of you know, we'll grab that wheel in the name of feelings. Lord, I don't know if this is the best way. Let me protect myself. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Don't cry because of them, cry for them. You have all you need in me. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Boy, that's a great statement right there. Self-sacrifice is the way, it's my way, to finding your true self. What if yourself wasn't made to be saved and preserved? I mean by that, preserved, protected. What if yourself was made to be given to someone beyond you, bigger than you? What kind of deal is it to get everything you want and then lose yourself? Bring your life, your suke life, your bios to him, and he'll give you zoe, divine exchange. So in Acts chapter 2, guess what happened in the upper room? They shifted their central loyalty from themselves to him. And they were empowered to do so. How many of you know, when he said, you guys go up to the upper room, they went to the upper room and they were praying unified prayer. And listen to me, not one of them was praying, oh God, save us from all the mean people. Lord, kill all the people that killed you. Right? Take revenge on the enemies of God. Feed us, oh God. Provide for us. We're so needy. Protect us because we're scared. They prayed for one thing in the upper room, and that was what they had been promised. Jesus promised them that the Holy Spirit would come to them and take them over completely. Take them over entirely. That's what they prayed for. Now look at modern day prayer in the church. Where is that prayer? Lord, come and take me over completely. We stand at the river and we throw in all my guilt, all my shame. Lord, I need money. Lord, care for my family. You know what he wants? Why don't you walk into the river and say all of me? All of me? We keep walking the aisle so we can get free. You need to walk the aisle to be his. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Churches all over America. We're walking the aisle. God, I got to get free. Why don't you walk the aisle to be his and call it good? Well, that's powerful. Jeremy, you guys can come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Message Bible. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. In other words, one died for all, so we all died. Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. What kind of life? A resurrection life. Far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. So we're dead. We're dead in Christ. One died for all, therefore all died. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. I'm going to say it again. One died for all, therefore all died. We're supposed to be dead, and we're angry, and we're offended, and we're bitter, and we're all dead. That is not the life of Christ in you. That's your old life. Trying to come back from the dead and say, feed me. What about me? Hey, we all died so that we, New King James says, so that they who live may no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Our life is his. When you stand today, I don't want you to stand for prayer. I don't want you to stand to be free. I want you to stand to be his. Completely, entirely to be his. If that's you, I invite you to stand. Father, thank you for this word that you've deposited in our heart. And while we love experiencing you, even this morning, and dancing and shouting and reveling in our freedom, Lord, we know we need to be rooted and grounded in truth. We need to be rooted and grounded. So Holy Spirit, thank you for sealing this word in our hearts this morning. Thank you for sealing this word. It will not be stolen. We know that the enemy comes immediately to try and take it. But Lord, we decree and declare this morning, this word will not be stolen. It will not be taken from the soil of our hearts. Forgive us when we tried to save and preserve ourselves. Forgive us for being easily offended. Forgive us for being easily upset. May we continue to feed on you so that it's your life and your love that manifests in us and that the church rises in this hour. Not crying because of the world around us, but crying for the world that's all around us. Because in you, Lord, we have everything we need. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise in the house of God this morning. Amen. This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you and thank you again for listening.